explain patiently why co-opting the iconography of a Los Angeles gang that would kill him on sight was bad business. He put everyone in jeopardy. So sure, call yourself a Crip while you're out tending the dirt fields in Nebraska. But you come to Minneapolis, Green Bay, or Chicago, you either called yourself Native Mob or you called yourself dead. Then he'd paint a more optimistic picture. See all this reservation farmland? See all those beets? See all that kale? Shit no one likes to eat. Imagine it green with marijuana. Don't worry, we got the recipe. Don't worry, we'll front you the cost of machinery. Don't worry, we got the protection. Don't worry, we got distribution. That advice, that's $50,000. Big bills are fine. By tomorrow. Next day, it's 75. End of the week? Don't worry. We'll give your mom something to help her with the bills. Now, 3 a.m, crossing over the Blackburn Point Bridge from Osprey, Florida, onto Casey Key, sitting in the passenger seat of a rented Ford Taurus, big trunk, but it handled like a rhino. American cars, absolute crap these days. Peaches could see his middle management career coming to an end. His own thing on the horizon. He was 45 years old. The time for waiting was over. His nephew Mike, who he liked but didn't think was exceptionally bright, pulled up in front of the Pirate's Cove apartments and cut the engine. The Pirate's Cove consisted of 6 low-slung white bungalows, surrounded by stumpy palm trees and beds of hibiscus that had begun to grow wild, climbing up toward the blue Bermuda shutters that were pushed out, letting in the Gulf breeze. It had been hot and humid all day. Mike's Midwest blood was not suited to this Florida bullshit, even this late in the year. But Peaches liked it, particularly now that it was in the 60s and the air finally thin enough to breathe. "Uncle," Mike said, "this place is nice." It was. Oh, well, the land was. The Pirate's Cove was a dump, but it was surrounded on either side by mansions, only a few hundred yards east of the Gulf of Mexico, a few hundred yards west of the Intercoastal Waterway. Prime real estate. Worth maybe $1 million, $1.5 million. Even more if the bungalows were torn down. Peaches knew about real estate. He had made it his specialty. Had his broker's license. Was happy to sift through the public records. Knock on doors. Talk about gentrification. Talk about curb appeal. Talk about market value. Talk about how, for his tribe, the Chayala, real estate was the ticket to prosperity. That if they wanted to move real weight, they had to take their casino profits and roll that into durable investments, which sometimes meant buying up land that had once been theirs in the first place. Lately, though, he'd been all about buying up commercial space, medical buildings, but especially any empty plots next to phone company switching stations, particularly in shitty little towns. Peaches thinking ahead, seeing how the internet was changing business. Phone companies were going to need that space, build server farms. Data was a more durable crop than weed, but that wasn't something Peaches was confident his soldiers could cultivate. So he knew something about how to improve investments, and he knew no one had bothered to update these bungalows since 1953, which is when Ronnie Cupertine's father, Tom, Dandy Tommy Cupertine, bought the land in the first place. Almost 50 years later, the Pirate's Cove was in the name of an LLC and was operated by a property management company in Chicago. In all that time, though, the property had never been sold. Peaches stumbled on it while searching the records for every bit of residential property in the Cupertine family name, going all the way back to the early 1900s, looking for plausible safe houses for the family, as far away from Chicago as possible. The Pirate's Cove had been quitclaimed 13 times up through the 1980s, but since then, nothing. It took Peaches about 3 months to plow through microfiche and old deeds and records, since he had to do it all by hand, couldn't get some file clerk on the family payroll interested in what he was looking for. Not that anyone in Osprey looked particularly mobbed up. Next, Peaches rented a house up the block from the Pirate's Cove and spent a month walking up and down the beach, making friends. Started wearing linen. Started to take it in, actually. Bought tortoiseshell glasses. Played the part. Sat out on the beach in front of the Pirate's Cove a couple nights a week. Chatted up the tenants coming in and out. Found out Terrence worked the line at Casey Key Fish House. Also dealt a little coke. Neighbors showing up on Friday nights in their Audis and BMWs. Peaches picking up a few lines, too, for Halloween. It was crap,